So the idea that there is hope, there is light on the other side, that there is a way for you to be able to fight back and obtain some your rights and your relationship with your child is like, it is there. You just have to have the right partners, the right mindset. And then honestly, I tell a lot of guys, like, so some guys, they go through a divorce and they're like, I'm never doing that again. I counsel those guys too. I'm like, hey man, like, just because one business doesn't work out doesn't mean you never open a business again, right? Or business is not for you, right? It just means that that one didn't work out, right? And maybe take those lessons, maybe whiteboard them up and start another one whenever you feel you're ready.
Your hosts have earned a reputation as fierce and effective advocates inside and outside of the courtroom. Both partners are experienced trial attorneys who have been board certified in family law by the Texas Board of Legal Specialization.
Well, thanks for tuning in to For Better, Worse, or Divorce podcast, where we provide you tips and insight of how to navigate divorce and child custody situations. This is Jake Gilbreth. I'm one of the managing partners of Walters Gilbreth. And today we're joined by a good friend of mine and a prior client, actually, to share his experience going through the divorce process, working with our firm, even though it was years ago. And we've stayed friends over the years. But we found that our listeners have found firsthand accounts of real client experience to be a valuable resource. So without further ado, sir, like I say in all my courtroom direct examination, tell us your name and tell us what you do for work.
First of all, thanks for having me on, Jake. I really appreciate it. Any chance I get the opportunity to sing the high praises of what you do, I love to take it. My name's Mikhail Abdullah, and I own and operate All Aces Jiu-Jitsu Clubs across Texas and a few other small marketing agencies, stuff like that.
Well, so let's talk about that first before we sort of get into, because you and I do want to sort of talk about how we met in a bit. You and I guess we've known each other since 2000, was it 14 or 15?
I think it was 14.
I'm trying to remember how old our kids were, both same age and babies, right?
Yeah, they were.
Well, before we do that, tell us about your work. I follow your business over the years, right? You and I love talking about business and growing business and customer service and satisfaction, everything. But how on earth do you go? I think when you and I met, I think you had one studio.
Yes.
How'd you go from that to where you're at right now? Like, I guess tell us about the studios, what y'all do, and how you got to where you're at right now.
Yeah, at the time we first met, we had our first club. And now we have six across Texas in the Austin area, the DFW area, and Houston area. So we've experienced a good bit of growth since then. It can be naturally complicated. I think at the time we were discussing when thankfully everything went well, found myself as a full-time single dad running the company. But honestly, it turned out great. Some extra motivation.
Well, let's talk about kind of back when you and I met then, because you and I were, I'm trying to remember timeline. I think you and I were both, I know I represented you in your divorce, but I think you and I were going through a divorce around the same time with the kid, our kids being the same age. So I guess talk me as you remember it, I'll sort of say from my perspective, but talk about kind of how we found each other and what happened.
It was a really fortunate situation, a fortunate part of an unfortunate situation. So at the time, my former wife had like threatened to harm our child, and I had recorded it, and you know, with her knowledge, of course, and in the attempts to show her that this was kind of a banana situation, and she took off with our daughter. So it was kind of a complicated situation where we had to first prove out several things here and had to win rights both in this state and another state while at the same time running the business. And it was a really interesting time. I don't want to ramble too much on about it, but
yeah, no, I know in the past and everything, what I remember most about meeting, I think I met you and your mom that morning. Yeah. As I recall it, I may have the times a little bit wrong, but I remember you calling because this happened with kind of the taking off of the baby, which was very scary. I can't imagine what it was like for you. Even as a practitioner, it was scary for me. I remember, I think it was close to after hours or maybe even after hours where you called the office and I had court the next morning. It's like, well, I mean, I think it was court. Maybe like I had to drive to Williamson County or something like that. And it's like, I hear you, buddy, but I can't meet with you unless it's like at 6 a.m. in the morning. And all right, I'll be there. Yeah. And sure enough, there were you and your mom at 6 a.m. in the morning and sort of told me the story. It was scary, right?
Yeah, you know, it was super scary. Her saying that, you know, that she was going to end our kid's life and then taking off so you don't know if your kid's alive or not was really super worrying. I got to thank you again for making that meeting happen. A mutual friend of ours had recommended you.
Oh, I knew that's how we met.
Yeah, I think somebody's like, this is the guy you need to talk to. And then I reached out and then you made some time available for me. And then it went from there.
Yeah. And it was, you know, we've talked about in the podcast how complicated interstate stuff can be because the mom did pop up with your kiddo in a different state, right? And then filed stuff in that different state. I mean, this is well before, you know, COVID and Zoom and all this sort of stuff. So you got litigation going on in that state. The Texas judge signs every single, at the time, right? The Texas judge had signed every single order kind of known to mankind, right? To get the baby back. And then you're having to get a lawyer in that state. We're dealing with it. I think it was like a month or two. It provided some relief when we knew where she was and where the child was. But as I recall, it was still like a month or two before we actually got your daughter back to Texas.
Yeah, thereabouts. It was about a month before we even found where they were.
Right.
And then about like another month on top of that to actually get my daughter back.
Yeah. Well, and your case was, I don't want to sort of dig through all the details and everything, and I don't want to relive it. I mean, like I said, for me, it was one of the scarier cases that I've dealt with, and I can't imagine what it was like for a dad. But I mean, the happy end of it is, right, is there was some weird hiccups with a particular judge once we got, because your child was with you for quite some time. For once we got her back into Texas, as I recall, it was 6 or 8 months, not even hearing from mom, and then mom sort of pops up, and there's some kind of weird litigation over that. But then we got it worked out in Texas, and without going into the details of kind of your court order and everything, and because of the concerns, have you set up as not totally single dad, but kind of been single dad since then with kind of some limited access on the other side, given kind of how everyone is functioning in the history and everything. So how our kids would have been, I guess, a year, 18 months, maybe 2 years by the time it's all over. Is that right?
I think that's about right. I think that's about the right timeline.
Yeah, it was before they turned two, because I remember, again, it's hard because I'm not using your kiddo's name and everything. Appreciate I always that. Want to refer to her by name. I just remember her coming to my son's second birthday party. Y'all came, and your daughter's always been a little bit bigger than my son, and she gave him the biggest hug and almost, I'm sure she gets this from her dad, almost knocked him over. Maybe she did. Take him to the ground just a little bit there.
I remember that moment.
So they sort of stayed friends over the years. What grade is she in now? My kid's 9 years old in third grade. And
yeah, she's in homeschool. I think she's in that cusp between fourth, fifth grade right now.
Yeah. Well, so talk about, sort of alluded to this earlier then, not totally single dad, right? Mom still has a role in your daughter's life, but let's be real, the responsibility has been largely on you. Yeah. Well, I guess, first of all, have you since remarried?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I try to tell this to other guys who go through divorce, that there is light on the other side with some good personal self-work. Now I have a wonderful marriage to an awesome woman and more kids, living my best life as far as that's concerned.
No kidding. You and I both went through our divorce. Now we're raising our kids. And then you and I both found, let's be real, married up substantially.
I would agree.
So we're very lucky with how things have worked out. It's so funny, the parallels, right? Because you and I both sort of grown business over the years.
Yeah.
We have both more kids, remarried. This is, you and I think, just sort of see life the same way. Yeah. But what's it been like sort of growing your business? I mean, it's not easy. You're all over the state. Y'all have made waves about going outside of Texas too, as I understand it. But so what's that been like, raising a kiddo, remarried, more kids, building a business?
It has been busy. Yeah, we have people trying to get us to come out of the state, and we're telling them when we hit certain goals for our expansions here in the state, then we will. But that does include like travel around and stuff like that. And we feel real fortunate that I've been able to find ways to make it work throughout each of those different stages. Sometimes people are like, man, that must be so hard. But honestly, when I feel inspired to do it, and there's a will, there's a way, right? I'd have meetings in New York, and then I'd be like, guess we're buying two tickets, right? And then as I travel around bringing family with me, so my clubs are Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and MMA clubs, and we have pro fighters and amateurs and all kind of stuff that we're training and getting ready for competitions. And
can I pause you there? I don't think I asked. Give me your background on how you got into that, because you've told me several times, I'm always so impressed. You and I have a lot of parallels in our lives. Our backgrounds are not parallel. Your background is so impressive, so you mind sort of telling us kind of how you got to being a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu club owner?
Yeah, so I grew up wrestling, and fast forward some years later, when I exited honorably from the military, I came back from overseas, and I did the one thing you should not do. I accepted an invitation from some guys to go like grapple in a garage, right? And I got hooked to Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu very, very quickly. Because of my wrestling pedigree, I got invited, started getting invited to camps for pro fighters, started competing, traveling around the world, winning, doing all that kind of good stuff. And it simultaneously had built and sold a couple other businesses that went well and one that didn't. And after one that did okay, I was asking myself, what do I really want to do that I care about ultimately? What's like that I feel is a good thing in the world? And the one thing that had made the most difference for me in my mental health, there's all the things you can imagine when a guy gets out of the military after certain experiences, or honestly, anybody who's dealing with any trauma. It doesn't have to just be the military. The jiu-jitsu and MMA, just the training, not even the competing, really helped give me a really healthy, personal, focused thing to do to improve myself. Anyway, so I figured that one thing had made a huge difference for me. And then I started to fall in love with coaching and helping other people have those aha moments. And next thing you know, right, it's one of those next thing you know, I started to build what I thought a great club would look like. And that idea started to grow into helping other people to live their dream like I was. And that started opening one club, then two, then acquiring other people's clubs and expanding to different cities. And all while marrying these two ideas of aggressive expansion there and being the best possible dad that I could be to my wonderful daughter and now daughters. Yeah, man, it's
been lots of fun to sort of watch over the years. What is, I guess if you could sort of say one thing as far as, without giving too much of the secret sauce, but as far as y'all's secret sauce is watching how y'all handle customer relations over the years and marketing and all that sort of stuff. But I mean, obviously you're really good. Y'all have really good coaches. You're a really good coach. You're a really skilled fighter. But just like a law practice, right? That's part of it, right? I think I'm a really good lawyer. The lawyers that work for us are really good. I think my law partner's a really good lawyer. But that's not enough, right? Just to say I'm really good at this. What's kind of makes it, because, you know, I could be really good at this and just be me, right? With one person, one staff member or something like that and not grow. Like, what's the secret sauce that's turned you personally being like a really good coach, but to where you can expand it to where it's a business, a little empire, really? Yeah. Texas Jiu-Jitsu, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu empire.
Yeah, I've been feel real fortunate in that. I got to make one quick correction. You are a fantastic lawyer, sir. Like, there's a reason you're the man when it comes to making recommendations. Even when I have to find out a buddy's going to get married, I'm like, this is the guy you need to talk to, right? I'm like, just make sure, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you're right. There's a great book called The E-Myth, right? And they have a newer version called E-Myth Revisited. I always thought it was the electronic myth until I read it. And I was like, oh, okay. It's an entrepreneurial myth. And the idea is that being a technician is not enough. You have the technician, you have the manager, right? And you have the entrepreneur, right? And the technician is a person who does the craft and is usually what gets somebody into a business. They're like, I love doing HVAC, so I'm going to open an HVAC business. Or I'm an attorney, so I'm going to open my own practice. Or jiu-jitsu, and I'm going to open my own club. But the focus for a technician is like on the moment, right now, getting this specific job done. The focus of the manager is like coalescing and grabbing all the data to look backwards. And the entrepreneur is focused on moving forward and expansion. And it's difficult for a lot of people, to even skilled people, I think, to wear all those hats and to figure all those things out. I think something that you have done really well, as I've watched you expand, and I think that we have done well on my side, is really managing those hats, knowing when to put on the technician hat, knowing when to put on the manager hat, and knowing when to put on the entrepreneur hat and expand. That's one thing I've admired about your business, as I admire about ours, which is that idea of expansion. We're either growing or we're dying, right? And
yeah,
I choose to grow.
And y'all are particularly, I mean, as far as like customer relations or, you know, for us, it's client relations or whatever. You've sort of told me over the years, kind of the systems that y'all have in place to, you know, one, obviously market, but then two, once, you know, when people contact or search or whatever, I mean, y'all are on it. Like, nobody slips through the cracks. If I even think about Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and you're on it, and y'all know how to sort of get that customer to sort of research y'all, but then once somebody comes in, be really clear with them as far as how quickly y'all respond and get somebody in the system and get them set up. It's just, I mean, that's the name of the game, right?
It is. Automation is a big part of that, and then also being really clear about our values and who we are, and then making sure that part of the communication at every point. And also, doing the one thing I think a lot of other people don't do, which is ask the appropriate question. Like, what are you trying to get out of there? What are your goals, right? And then just helping people marry their goals with a program, right? That's going to help them be successful. I think, so it's funny. The thing when people talk about marketing usually is top of funnel, which is like the ads and like Facebook media buying and all that kind of stuff. But I think the real secret sauce is actually the much nerdier mid-funnel marketing, right? Which is lead scoring, automations, like multiple types of automations, communications, notifications, and background automations and stuff like that. And that allows the humans to do the human stuff, which is have some like really awesome conversations and get somebody going to do the thing they inquired about. And I think that's,
yeah,
you get it.
That's awesome. Well, so talk back to the divorce, sort of kind of move towards wrapping up, but I want to end with a funny story I'm going to tell in a bit. But the back to the divorce, if there is, I mean, I talk about being a divorced dad. You kind of alluded to it earlier about being a divorced dad. Yeah. What's the, I mean, if you had any advice for somebody going through this stuff, whether it's a really, really difficult situation like yours or not as difficult or in between, what kind of words of wisdom do you have?
Call Jake Gilbert right now.
Thank you. And then personally, what's your personal advice for people going through this?
Well, people going through this, I would say there is life on the other side of this experience, and it can be a great life if you work it correctly. I've counseled quite a few buddies, and just as I've been personally counseled by you and I think a couple other friends who, not many people knew what I was going through, by the way. I kind of kept it to myself as I was running my business and trying to manage the situation. So the idea that there is hope, there is light on the other side, that there is a way for you to be able to fight back and obtain some your rights and your relationship with your child is like, it is there. You just have to have the right partners, the right mindset. And then honestly, I tell a lot of guys, like, so some guys, they go through a divorce and they're like, I'm never doing that again.
Yeah.
I counsel those guys too. I'm like, hey man, like, just because one business doesn't work out doesn't mean you never open a business again, right?
That's
or business is not for you, right? It just means that one didn't work out, right? And maybe take those lessons, maybe whiteboard them up and start another one whenever you feel you're ready.
That's a really good way of putting it. I hadn't thought about that analogy because I always tell people, look, I mean, I think some people are surprised, but as hearing this from a divorce lawyer, but I'm a huge believer in marriage, right? I'm remarried, and I mean, that's been the best decision of my life and I'm a strong believer in marriage. It has to be the right marriage, right? And that's just, that can, sometimes we try to force things, just like a business, right? We try to force things and it's just not working. But that doesn't mean that the system is wrong, the institution of marriage is wrong or anything like that. It's just, this one didn't work, and I'm just a big believer. I mean, it's not for everybody, right? I represent families all the time that they're an intact family unit, whatever that looks like, and they're not married. That's great. For me personally, I'm a big believer in marriage. It's got to be the right one. So, okay. So I know, you know, I've told this many times. My favorite story about you is, because it really has to do with my kids. And I know you remember this. It was you and I sort of saw each other some over the pandemic, right? You come over for coffee and stuff like that. But our kids didn't really get to see each other. And Walker, my youngest, was born right in the middle of COVID, and he hadn't really met you. If you remember the first time you came over to the house after COVID's kind of dying down, and those of you who know Mikhail, he's a big hugger. So you came over to the house, Sarah comes downstairs, she's holding Walker, who's probably 8 months at this time, 8, 9 months. And let's be real, how tall are you?
6'1", not a tender 6'1", an actual 6. 6 feet.
Yeah. Yeah. So kind of, he's never met you before. Kind of a big dude coming over. MMA, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu fighter, 6'1". Let's be real, he's a little bit bigger than dad. And Sarah comes down holding Walker. You run right up to Sarah to give her a big old hug, and Walker stiff arms you.
Yeah.
Get away from my mom. Yep. Like, there you go. That's my son, right? Protecting mom.
That's right. Good man.
So now y'all are buddies. So, well, this is great, man. I mean, I have to say, you and I say this every single time we see each other. I so value our friendship, what we've been through together, and kind of staying friends and close over the years. Just, I can't hug you because we're over the internet right now. But if you're here, I'd give you a big hug just because I love you. I love your family. You know, how we met is interesting. It just kind of blossomed. This is one of many blessings that's come out of it. It's kind of our relationship over the years.
I totally agree. I couldn't have said it better, brother. I can't overstate how appreciative of you I am, how much I love you as a brother. And out of every tragedy, there's an equal or greater benefit. And I think one of those benefits has been our relationship over the years. Yeah, man. Love the heck out of you. And I'd be giving you a big hug right back. So I guess we'll have to do that in one of our next walks.
That sounds good. I'll wrap up the podcast and I'll give you a virtual hug. So that's all we've got for today. Oh, before I forget though, tell us a website. What's the best way for people to find you? If I'm listening to this going Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, that sounds like something I want to look into. How do I find you?
You can go to acesbjj.com or acesjiu-jitsu-club.com to check out one of our jiu-jitsu clubs. Or you can find me on Instagram at cerebralbjj. And anybody who hears this and wants to reach out, feel free to reach out, whether it's to come train or if they're going through something themselves. And if you're listening to this and you feel compelled and you're going through a situation, reach out to Jake. I literally tell that to everybody I know. Like, he is a genius, ridiculously compassionate, and so, so smart at his craft.
Oh, man, I appreciate that. So, well, we'll wrap up with that. And yeah, for our contact, if you've liked what you heard today, please leave a review. And then, of course, you can contact us at our firm at waltersgilbert.com. You can email us at podcast@waltersgilbert.com. We love feedback that we get. We love suggestions. We love reviews. So feel free to get in touch with us. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll hear y'all. See y'all on the next episode.
For information about the topics covered in today's episode and more, you can visit our website at waltersgilbreth.com. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of For Better, Worse, or Divorce, where we post new episodes every first and third Wednesday. Do you have a topic you want discussed or a question for our hosts? Email us at podcast@waltersgilbreth.com. Thanks for listening. Until next time.